Dr. Joe Eastman is our COVID modeling expert. He has worked with NASA. He has worked with the LTER. He's worked with Colorado State University. Currently, he is part of the University of Texas Austin COVID modeling team. He's kind enough to join us to talk today about where the numbers are pointing right now. Hi, Dr. Joe. How are you, sir?
I'm doing outstanding, and this Democrat has already voted.
Nice. We have got really early voting here in Minnesota. You're up on the north there. Where we are by Grand Rapids, right?
That's correct, yes.
How cold is it up there today?
Oh, boy, we're touching the grand temperature of 41 right now outside the house with gale force winds blowing like crazy.
Stop it,
but,
Canada.
You know, the colors have pretty much... at their peak right now. It is stunning.
It has been. It's the upper Midwest has been gorgeous this year. So good news there. Let's get into the meat of this. First of all, I want to give you sent me an article from Axios, which is unbelievable when you think about the amount of cases. Basically, the 24 million people have been determined to be suffering from long COVID. Is that correct?
That's right. Currently, we have 24 million people, and it just keeps climbing because we're at about 40,000 new cases a day. So you can add about 20% of that total to the amount that's going into the LT COVID phase. So that's where we're sitting right now, and people don't really factor this into even economically. It's an incredible expense that I once estimated was $1 trillion over the next decade we're going to be paying for this. So
now, and do we have a definition on the long COVID? I mean, obviously there are some people that have had it since early in the pandemic in 2020, and it's still with them. But is there a timeline here that they're looking at long COVID is lasting, what, 12 months, 15 months, 18 months, anything like that?
It's based on weak science currently, but about 2 years is what they're saying. But it's one of those things where you don't know. I mean, once something messes with your brain, it's hard to turn it back and turn it off, you know. So people are having trouble. 80% of these people are having trouble just doing simple tasks right now. So that's a really scary part of it. You know, and with the kids, you're looking at, a 20% increase in type 1 diabetes, which is a lifetime chronic thing that they're going to have the rest of their life. So you really can't put a fixed number on how long it's going to last. But in general, we're looking at about 2 years.
Wow. So, well, and you brought up the cost of this. I mean, just alone, I mean, obviously with you're having it's about 8% of the country's population. 8% of the country's population is going to have long COVID. $1 trillion, is that enough? I think we're looking in the multiple trillions, aren't we?
Yes, we are. That was based on a very conservative estimate I made back in, I think it was around the end of July, and I haven't updated my figures yet. I probably need to go back and do that. I asked Boston College if they were going to do a study to look at that. They're really good at this type of stuff, their economic policy department. So I'm waiting to hear back from them. So they would be the guys that would just nail down this number in a much more precise way.
When I saw Fauci last night on Colbert, and he basically laid it out. He said, would I be surprised at all if there was another surge coming up here this fall? And he said, absolutely, I wouldn't be surprised at all, because this is what happens is you get indoors and you get into close confines, and that's where you start getting more of it. Have you run any numbers here yourself, and what are you seeing, if you have, in regards to what it's looking like this fall and into winter?
Well, okay, I guess you'll be the first one to hear these numbers.
And, yeah, and it's just you and me, Dr. Joe. Yes.
Okay. I haven't published this out formally because I'm still looking to make sure it passes my smell test. But anyways, in January, I'm looking at approximately 600,000 new cases a day, and the death totals of around 1,500 per day. We're not 9/11 levels, but boy, my gosh, come on.
how does that compare to the last two? I mean, because last winter was rough. How does that? How do those numbers, 1,600K new cases per day and 1,500 dead per day, how do those numbers compare to what we were seeing last winter, fall winter?
Yeah, and I got to mention that this is scaled down to kind of match the observations. My model actually predicts, I think more accurately, a heck of a lot more infections. But anyways, last January, I believe the peak was around 810,000, somewhere in that boat. And the deaths per day, of course, we saw rose above the 9/11 level. So it's not as bad. But here's the factor that I'm having trouble putting in this whole calculation is the one that I really fear right now is BA4.6. It continues to climb. And this sucker says, okay, I don't even see therapeutics, much less vaccine. So we have no therapeutics for this that are going to help people that contract this variant.
You brought up BA4.6. Why don't you, a little brief detail there. Where did that one originate from?
And again, this is another one from our friends in South Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just looking at those. We're starting to see an increase in Europe. So, you know, we've seen this scenario before. As Europe goes, well, a couple months later, that's how we're going to roll. So, Europe and Central Asia are seeing the biggest increase worldwide, whereas if you take the total worldwide, it is dropping right now in mm-hmm. terms of the number of cases. But then again, we're not testing that much, and we're not catching a lot of it because so much more is asymptomatic now. And people go, oh, I've been reinfected with this new Omicron. I'm going to be just fine. But you're second or third. You're rolling the dice. It can be just as severe as you can imagine, even though you had milder symptoms the first time around. So that's where we're at.
BA4.6, is it showing up in Wisconsin, Minnesota right now? I mean, is it in the wastewater? Are we seeing the numbers there?
Yeah. It continues a very slow-paced climb, and there's reasons for that I won't go into on the air. It would take me about 10 minutes to explain it, but it has to do with the pathways and reinfection pathways and such and testing and a lot of different factors. So, yes, it is showing up. You made a good point. I need to go back, and I haven't looked at the wastewater in roughly about a week, so I'll touch back with you when I take a look at that. So right now, one of my biggest frustrations is the new Omicron-specific booster and how the CDC has dropped the ball on this one. I warned my county health official. I said, you need to get out there and inform people or they're not going to know, can I get this? When can I get this? And et cetera. And it's abysmal what the rate is right now for people getting this booster.
Good news for you. I get mine next Friday. That's for sure. Over the VA, I'm getting mine done. But if we can go back to variants, okay. So you brought up BA4.6, and I'm not downplaying that one. That might be rough. Have you seen any other variants that are starting to poke up around the globe that are starting to be a little bit more of a concern?
Yeah, the BA 2.75 continues a slow rise. That's another one that pretty much says, you know, damn the therapeutics. I don't see you. There's not a really good way for us to treat it. And the CDC has not let anybody know about this either, which is really frustrating. And then finally, the BF7 is just creeping along, but continues to increase. The BA5 is down to roughly 80% of the cases now, and back from its peak early in August. So, and it's waning slowly too. I mean, these things just don't want to go away. So, like you say, once we get indoors, Katie, bar the doors.
Dr. Joe Eastman is joining us. He's our COVID modeling expert. You talk about the Omicron. I want to bring up something that I was confused by. My daughters were able to go get vaccinated with the brand new variant of the vaccine. And the way I'd understood it from the people that were saying it is that you had to have your first two, COVID shots, and then you had to have the two booster shots. And apparently you don't have to have the booster shots. As long as you've got those first two shots, you can go get this Omicron boot, this new one, and you'll be fine. So it's not like you have to get the first four shots. You just have to have those first two shots done. That's at least what they did with our daughters, who did not have both of those shots. One actually had one of the shots. The other one didn't have them either. And they said, it's fine to give them the Omicron booster.
That's right. You're supposed to have completed the Pfizer or Moderna, two-shot initial vaccination regime, and then pretty much anybody is eligible for this new booster as long as they haven't had a booster within the last 2 months.
Okay.
So that's kind of the window of opportunity. Another thing to know is there's been a new study that's come out, and you can actually put some dollar amount on what this new Omicron variant booster could save us in the future. And they look at a couple scenarios going out to March of 2023. And lives saved if 80% of the people that are eligible got this darn thing. It's right around 90,000 lives saved.
Wow.
Between now and March. That's really big. And then the hospitals, you're looking at about 1 million hospitalizations saved if people went out and got this. And finally, just resisting the infections or reinfections, about 26 million people will not be getting infected if we just comply with this and go out and get the new booster. So you're looking at close to $100 billion just from that aspect of boosters.
Dr. Joe, hold on. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this interview after the break. Dr. Joe Eastman is joining us, our COVID modeling specialist. And yeah, the pandemic is not over, even though Joe Biden misspoke on that one. It's not, and clearly we need to take it seriously. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Joe Eastman, our COVID modeling expert, kind enough to join us. Dr. Joe, we should also mention here, there's another little thing, and I think people kind of forget this too. We do have to get flu shots. And as you've said, that whether it's going to be an annual thing or a biannual thing, twice a year, we're probably going to have to very much treat COVID the same way, that there's going to have to be just an annual shot you're going to have to get because it's sticking around.
That's correct. As long as we're kind of on these monoclonal vaccines and boosters until we can come out with a generalized vaccination, that's the reality we're looking at now. And we're kind of at the mercy of Big Pharma in terms of getting out the newest monoclonal vaccination. So that's kind of sad. Sad state of affairs.
Well, and can I ask, I think I already know the answer to this. Is there any way they could combine the vaccines and have it, one vaccine gets you both the annual flu variant as well as a COVID variant? Or is that not possible?
That's a good question. I really haven't thought about because I got mine at the same time, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. People are so confused. About a third of the public is like, I can't get my flu vaccine and get the COVID booster at the same time. And you can.
Yes, you can.
As far as combining the two into one shot, I guess I really never thought much about that, but it seems like it should work. I can't really say.
Well, and it's just some people don't like shots. And so if you can get it down to one shot, that's easier. But, you know, and that's America. It's convenient sort of thing. It really is.
I'll have an answer for you next time, okay?
All right. But I will say this. Since you brought that up, it is very important that everyone understand. You can get your flu shot and the latest booster for COVID at the same time. My daughters did that. My wife did that. It is, you can do both at the same time. You do not have to have a separation of those in a timeline.
That is correct. And actually, my flu shot arm hurt a heck of a lot worse than my COVID arm did. I'm used to shots at this point, so it didn't faze me. But some people are a little. In fact, my wife, the nurse, says males about 20 to 30 years old are scared to death of getting shots.
It is remarkable. I think this is kind of the larger issue. Just people want this to be over, so they're just saying it's over, and they don't realize it. I was looking at the numbers, at least in the state of Minnesota, with the new shot. 67.5% of Minnesotans have completed their vaccine series, but only 4.3% of eligible Minnesotans, or just 239,000, are up to date with the vaccine doses, which would mean the new Omicron. It just is, people are not understanding that this is going to get worse before it gets better. It's especially as we get it, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, you're indoors. I mean, we're about to go into the holiday season, and you're going to spend a lot of time inside stores, shops. If you're going back to the office, it's going to be in schools as well, especially the schools. It's something we've created an incubation zone, basically.
You're absolutely correct. And it all comes from the leadership on down. And I never thought I'd lose faith in the CDC, but their reputation right now among my colleagues is just, we are not that way. And it started back with the school mask mandates, hospital mandates for masks, they dropped. And now they're not even monitoring travel outside of Ebola coming in from Uganda. So it's a leadership thing, and I'm seriously concerned. I always respected the CDC with the highest regards, and the rest of the world did. And not so much right now.
Well, and it should be mentioned, what Dr. Joe is saying is he wanted school mask mandates to stay in place. He wanted hospital mask mandates to stay in place. He wanted a more stringent mentality because all the numbers and the science were pointing to this, but it seems like the politics of it finally and the wariness of a public that's been through this for 2+ years now finally outweighed what is really the more common sense suggestion.
You're absolutely correct. It really does frustrate me, but all I can do is keep on doing the best, and thankfully I have platforms like yours that I can get some of the word out and hopefully save a few lives here and there. But, we need more education.
I do want to encourage people that, Dr. Joe, I think the best way to follow you is on Twitter. What is your Twitter handle on that, so people can find you and follow you there?
Yeah, JLEROLLBLUES, Jelly Roll Blues. And you can go to jellyrollblues.blogspot.com and read my posts on different aspects of COVID and all kinds of different things are on there. I like to do nerdy science things and stuff like that. So please Come on in.
By all means, don't be afraid of facts, people. Don't be afraid of facts. Dr. Joe Eastman, Dr. Joe, as always, and just a privilege chatting with you. I hope you're wrong. I say this every time. I hope you're wrong. But so far, I don't think you've been proven wrong. You've been right every time. And so that's why I have you on. So thank you very much. I appreciate the information, as sobering as it is. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Matt. And keep on doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you much. Dr. Joe Eastman, kind enough to join us for his about every other week visit. Yeah, and trying to tell people, that, I mean, I get it right now. I know that there's a lot of people out listening, and it's like, oh, come on, Matt, do we really have to listen to this? Yeah, you probably do. Because, you know, and I've been one of these people. I don't want you dead. I don't want you sick. I don't want you bankrupt for the rest of your life. And I sure as heck don't want you sick for the next 3 years. I don't. Nor do I think is it appropriate for us to say, well, just the old people dying, or that's acceptable, old people dying. The greatest generation doesn't deserve to go out like that. The greatest generation does not deserve to go out like that. The reality is that it's going to be something that's with us, and I hope those numbers aren't right. I hope those numbers are nice. 600,000 new cases per day, 1,500 deaths per day coming up here in December, January. I hope that's not right, but, you know, would I be surprised, especially considering there are so few people I see who are taking it seriously anymore? Yeah, I wouldn't be. Get vaccinated. Once again, if you just have to get the first two shots. If you still haven't gotten those, for God's sakes, go get those, okay? I think it's pretty clear the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin, those were lies. You're not going to be safe there. And it's been proven multiple times that even if you've had COVID, your long-term immunity does not last that long. So you need to go get vaccinated, get both of those shots, and then you can get that Omicron shot. Get your flu shot, too. I just got mine the other day, and he's right. My arm still is sore from that one. I don't have a sore arm from the COVID shots, but the flu shot kind of got me a little bit. Get vaccinated. If you're going to be inside, it's going to be crowded. Wear a mask. That's not the worst option. Wisconsin Folks Devil Radio up next. Minneapolis-St. Paul, hour two coming your way.